Chapter 8. Ouch! Tyree yelled. Droplets of hot grease from the fryer at Fatburger splattered on his wrist, sending needles of pain into his arm. That's the third time today, said Dominic, the 19-year-old shift manager who had trained him since he showed up at 9:30. Here, he said, throwing him a towel. Tyree wiped the grease from his arm and noticed the tiny spots it left on his cast. It's 'cause you rush too much. Like I said this morning, you gotta slow down so you don't splash, unless you want your arm to be as cooked as them fries. Man, you try doing this one-handed, Tyree said, tossing the towel next to the sink. The truth was he had trouble paying attention because his mind was on tomorrow. He still hadn't figured out how he would get Dad to let him go to Cliffside. Hey, I told you to stay on the register, but you asked to work back here. Don't go making excuses. You're lucky you even got a job, Dominic said. If I was lucky, my wrist wouldn't be broke, Tyree wanted to say, but he knew to keep his mouth shut. There was no way he would admit he chose to work at the fryer so he wouldn't have to face people from Blueford. Seeing them from the fryer was bad enough. How'd you break your wrist again? I told you, I slipped in the cafeteria at school, Tyree said, careful to hide details about Darryl. That's not what I heard, said a voice behind him. Tyree turned to see Selma. She had barely said a word to him the whole morning. Why, what did you hear? Dominic asked. Yeah, tell us, said Nitsa, another girl who worked at the registers. Oh my God, I can't believe it, cut in a voice from behind him. Tyree turned around to see Shanetta Green and Natalie Wallace, two older girls he recognized from Blueford. Tyree Hobbs is flipping burgers. Look at him, Shanetta howled, snapping a picture with her camera phone. Yo, Tyree, that cast come with fries? She teased. Yeah, Ty, do they sell that cast supersize? Joked Natalie. The two girls cackled so loudly other customers stared at them. Tyree wanted to tell them off, but he knew he couldn't. He glanced at Lark's writing to stay calm. Not so fun when they dishing it out at you, is it? Selma said with a knowing smile. Tyree grunted and returned to the fryer, removing the cooked fries from the grease and draining them in a tray before sprinkling salt on them, like Dominic showed him. For a second, he imagined spitting into Shanetta's fries or dumping a bucket of grease on her lap. Finally, the noisy girls grabbed their food and sat down.
So what did you hear, Selma?
Nitsa asked after they left. Dominic turned his head to listen, even as he rang up a customer's order. Tyree braced himself. He expected the rest of the crew to laugh at him when she told the truth, but instead, Selma gave Tyree a quick glance.
Nah, I was just playing. I don't know nothing about it, she said.
Girl, why you always playing?
Nitsa complained, as if she was disappointed. Selma changed the subject and walked back to her register. But later, just as his shift ended, she walked by and whispered,
You owe me.
Owe you for what? He asked.
Not telling on you, she said with a grin. I heard about how you broke your hand, but I figure since you working here now, maybe if I kept quiet, you could cover a shift for me one day. I hate working on Sundays.
Tyree's eyes widened. Maybe one day he would cover her shift, but he had something to do first. And she had just given him an idea how to do it. He almost hugged Selma right there as the plan formed in his head. A way to get to Cliffside.
You sure they need you tomorrow? Dad asked. An extra day so soon?
Tyree stretched the truth. It was dangerous, but he had no choice.
Yeah, this girl Selma called out, so there's short staff tomorrow. You can call Dominic and ask him if you want to,
Tyree explained. Dad studied him for a few seconds. Mom said nothing, but Tyree felt her watching him.
I told him I was grounded, but he wanted me to ask just in case.
What did I tell you about working? Saturdays only, remember?
Dad grumbled. Tyree knew what to do next.
You know what, Dad? Forget it. I knew you were going to say this. I'll just call and cancel.
He grabbed the phone, pretending to call Dominic. Just then, Mom's voice cut in.
Come on, Gil, she said. If they need help and he wants to work, why not let him? It's only going to be for a few hours.
See, there you go again, contradicting me. It ain't no wonder he don't listen.
But it's work, Gil. How many times have you worked late because someone called out? Besides, he could be doing a lot worse than working a few extra hours.
His father rubbed his temples. Fine, but you be back here by 6 o'clock, Dad growled. And if I find out you were somewhere outside that burger joint, you're gonna be in the worst trouble of your life. I ain't playing with you. You hear me?
Tyree struggled to hide his excitement. He almost wanted to thank his mother for taking his side. He wondered if she knew what he planned to do. The next morning, as he was heading out the door, Mom stopped him. Here, she whispered, making sure Dad couldn't see her. She pressed a $20 bill and a small envelope into his hand. Warren's name was written on it. Tyree realized she knew exactly where he was going and that she had lied to help him get out. He wished she could join him, that there was no need to lie, no angry divide that cut through their house. For an instant, he almost yelled out in frustration, but she squeezed his arm and quickly turned away. Tyree raced out the door, carrying the money and the papers inside his sweatshirt. He headed down the block as if he was going to Fatburger, glancing back until he was sure his father wasn't watching him. Bones was waiting near where he had sold Tyree the gun weeks earlier. He wore faded black jeans and a ragged t-shirt beneath a denim jacket that hung loose from his thin shoulders. He sipped coffee from a small paper cup cradled in his veiny hands. For a second, he reminded Tyree of one of the homeless people who lived beneath the highway overpass not far away.
Right on time, boy. Let's do this, Bones said with a crackling voice.
He began walking, and Tyree was surprised at how quickly the skinny man moved, weaving between cars and crossing busy streets as if he didn't care what happened to him.
Ain't every day someone like me tries to get back into a prison,
Bones grumbled, fighting off a cough as they reached the bus stop across from Superfoods. The bus stop was a plexiglass shell scribbled with magic marker. On one side, a black and silver movie poster announced that Moonlight was coming to theaters soon. Tyree remembered what Lark said and shook his head. Inside, on the metal bench, sat a woman with braided hair and a small boy who looked to be in preschool. She watched him and Bones warily.
Come here, Tavon, she said, yanking the child closer to her.
Tyree imagined what they must look like together when he noticed the boy's eyes locked on his cast.
Stop staring, that ain't nice, the woman scolded.
Bones smiled, his teeth crooked and yellow in the morning light.
What's up, little man?
He said, putting a hand out so the boy could hit it.
Come on, give me some,
he urged. The little boy slapped it, and Bones chuckled with delight.
That's what I'm talking about,
he said before his voice broke into a violent cough. The boy jumped back into the woman's arms as Bones fought to control himself. Tyree stepped away and scanned the street, hoping the bus would arrive soon. Instead, in the distance, he spotted two people heading towards Superfoods. One of them was Harold Davis from his English class. He recognized his bulging frame 2 blocks away. Next to him was Cindy Gibson, another freshman at Bluford. Tyree couldn't believe they were out together, but just then something else caught his eye. A gold Nissan with chrome wheels and a slate-tinted windshield. It whipped by and cut into the grocery store lot. As soon as the car stopped, Londell got out and headed inside.
Jupiter and Keenan stepped out, but didn't go in the store.
Tyree clenched his fists. What were they doing? Why were they always hanging out so close to his block? He pictured Londell's cold smirk and felt an urge to rush over to his car. So what if he got beat up? At least he would get his chance to hit back. That's more than what anybody else did about them. Cowards and animals, he thought to himself. I don't want to be neither.
Come on,
Bones interrupted. His eyes were on the Nissan, too.
Let's go.
Tyree heard the rumble of a bus approaching. The woman next to him stood up and guided Tavon forward. Within seconds, the bus hissed to a stop in front of them. Tyree stepped inside and grabbed a seat where he could watch the lot. Bones sat right in front of him as the engine groaned and the bus lurched forward. Through the glass, the golden Nissan sparkled like a piece of fake jewelry.
20 years ago, that was me, Bones said, pointing at the sedan. The OG, old school. I had so much swagger you couldn't fit me in that car. Lyndell's father was the same way. We grew up in the projects together. We had each other's back for a time, but that ain't enough out here. He scoffed. See what respect on the street gets you? You either end up dead, in jail, or alone. Me, I've had 2 out of 3, and the third is coming quick. As for Julius James, he's already gone. His kids are following the same path, but you, maybe not.
Tyree turned from the window and looked at the skinny man. He couldn't help but notice the cord-like veins in his wiry neck, the papery skin that covered his face. He realized he was staring at Bones the way Tavon had stared at his cast.
Time's always going forward on us. We can't never go back and undo what we did. If we could, man, the things I'd change.
Bones' voice cracked, and he turned away as the streets faded into a blur. Nearly 2 hours later, Tyree spotted the exit sign for Cliffside Correctional Facility. Bones had guided Tyree through 2 bus transfers, but otherwise ignored him. Tyree's legs were stiff as he stepped off the bus and faced a massive stone wall the color of dirty cardboard. On top stretched an endless coil of silvery wire studded with tooth-like barbs. Tyree cringed, thinking of Warren trapped behind it.
"This way," Bones said,
leading him to a steel door with a wired glass window. A sign above it read, "Visitor Entrance." A small crowd followed them, including Tavon and his mother. The boy looked exhausted.
"Where's Daddy?" he whined, tugging at her arm. "I want Daddy."
Behind her stood an older woman, her hair mostly gray and her back hunched as if she was carrying some invisible weight.
"Get in line," Bones directed. "I'll stay with you until they let you through."
"You ain't going inside?" Tyree asked.
"No, this is your visit, not mine," Bones replied. "Besides, you don't want to see me right now. But tell him what I said and tell him I brought you here, too. That's got to count for something."
They joined the line of visitors that led to an imposing steel counter as tall as Tyree's chest. Behind it were several uniformed officers, their faces stern and serious. When Tyree got to the front, an officer asked him for his paperwork and ID. He handed over everything Mom had given him. The officer studied the papers carefully.
"Warren Hobbs didn't indicate to us that a visitor was coming today," the guard said. "You're supposed to have a parent with you, too."
"His parents couldn't be here today," Bones chimed in. "I'm an old friend of the family just bringing the boy to see his brother. They ain't seen each other in a year."
The prison guard eyed Bones and Tyree warily.
"No one told us about any of this."
"Please, he's my brother. It's my first time here," Tyree urged. He couldn't hide the desperation in his voice. "I wanted to surprise him."
"Yeah, well, we don't do surprises here," the officer barked. "We're going to have to check with him. Go have a seat and we'll call you."
Tyree sat on an uncomfortable bench and watched as Tavon and his mother were sent through a metal detector. The boy cried out as the officers forced him to walk separately from his mother.
"It's okay, baby,"
she said over and over again. But it wasn't okay, Tyree thought to himself. No child should have to be in such a place. Next to him, Bones shook his head grimly as if he shared his thoughts.
"Tyree Hobbs," called out the guard nearly a half hour later. "Step this way."
Tyree walked over to the metal detector and a guard directed him through. Then another guard wearing white rubber gloves patted his chest, armpits, legs, and backside. Tyree felt strange with the man's hands all over his body.
"You got anything in there?"
the guard asked, pointing to his cast.
"Just my broken hand," Tyree answered.
The officer glared for a second and waved a small metal detector over his cast. Then Tyree was led down a dull cement corridor that smelled of bleach and paint. Video cameras were mounted overhead at each end. The corridor ended with a massive steel door positioned next to a glass room where 2 guards sat watching TV monitors. The guard next to Tyree pulled out a key and inserted it into the door.
Clunk!
Tyree flinched as the heavy lock clicked and the door opened with an ominous metallic groan. Inside was a bare room with simple tables. At one sat a man wearing an orange jumpsuit with the words Cliffside Correctional Facility. He held Tavon in his arms. The woman with braided hair stood at the man's side, her hands on his back, and whispered in his ear. In the far corner was another table with a broad-shouldered man whose head was almost completely shaved. His neck was ripped with muscle, and he wore the same jumpsuit, only his eyes looked just like Mom's. It was Warren.